summer of service already, hadn't it? I tell you, the work going on over at the school, and Paul and John with this group that they've been on, and then Vacation Bible School starting tomorrow evening, and then Revival coming, take a week off, and then Revival's here, then Tomball Night. It's been a good summer. Amen? That's what you do. You just kind of slug on through the heat and get her done. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And God laid this message on my heart for tonight, Mark chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading here in verse 30 and take it all the way through verse 42. Mark 9, 30 through 42. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 30. We'll take it through verse 42. Mark 9, 30. If you found that this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right. The Word of God reads this. Gospel of Mark. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we pray that as we're on the eve of Vacation Bible School here, Lord, we pray that your servants, your ministers, those that are stepping up and stepping out, Father God, we pray that they'd be encouraged, that they would be quickened in their spirits. Lord, that they would just lean upon you. They would depend upon you, Lord. They would seek your face as they make preparation, as they drive up here, as they find themselves here in the building before the children come. Lord, we just pray that our hearts are prepared, our minds are right, we're all focused and prayed up and ready for the week. We love you tonight. We praise you for all that you do. Thank you for the opportunities of service, the opportunities to minister in your name, the opportunities to spread the gospel. In your name we pray, and God's people said, Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. True greatness, really, I mean, when you boil it down, true greatness comes only through serving. I mean, that is just the bottom line to biblical theology. You want to be great? You want to succeed in life? Find a place at the plow and get to serving. I mean, you will be blessed beyond measure. You will experience peace beyond measure. There will be a joy in you beyond measure. Nobody can take it away. It stays with you. You're sending it on ahead in glory one day. Amen. With the rewards. I want to begin by asking you this question. Have you ever wondered if your life has made a difference? I think most of us here tonight would say, yes, we've wondered that question. Lying in bed before we doze off at night, perhaps driving into that job or traveling a long distance, we've wondered, has my life made a difference? I mean, if we were gone tomorrow, would it matter to your closest loved ones? Would it matter to your family? Would it matter to your community? Would it matter to your church? Would it matter to humanity in general? Would it matter to the world, your presence here? See, it all comes down to our perceived impact, right? What do we think people would say about us? Has our lives made an impression? Have we left a legacy? Have we left one? Are we leaving one? How will we be remembered? And then if we'll be real honest, if we'll get totally honest, the questions get a little more prideful. The questions get a little more arrogant. The questions get a little more disciple-ish. What do you mean by disciple-ish? Well, we begin to ask, was I better than the next guy? Was I better than the next girl? How did I do compared with the rest of my contemporaries? Was I extraordinary? Was I average? Was I great? Was I just so-so? Right? Well, we're no different than the disciples. You know that. We're no different. Jockeying for position. As Jesus travels along the path to Jerusalem for His impending sacrificial death by crucifixion, here his most trusted contemporaries, the disciples, handpicked, jockeying for position. I want to share with you a few things about this lengthy passage. I normally don't cover this much ground. Each of these points could be a message within themselves, and if I ever do preach through the Gospel of Mark here, I certainly won't go through this much material in one setting. But God's laid a word on my heart for us on the eve of Vacation Bible School. And point number one is simply this. Biblical greatness, in the eyes of God, biblical greatness is derived from a servant's heart. A servant's heart. And the church said, amen. Verses 33 through 35 says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Have you ever tried to hide anything from God? Maybe I'm just the only one that's ever tried to do that. Try to hide something from God, right? Just like the disciples cannot hide anything from their master, friend, you can't either. You know what? He sees all. He hears all. I mean, friend, he knows all. Amen? The disciples try to cover up their quarrels and secret ambitions with silence. But Jesus heard right through the silence. Jesus saw right through their proposed deception to try to deceive the master. Jesus knew when the disciples were discussing the pecking order, and Jesus knows when we're discussing the pecking order, jockeying for position. See, the disciples in us want to be great. You know why we want to be great? I'll tell you why we want to be great. We want to be served. Notice people that have money, power, and prestige in the world. You know what the common denominator is with most of them? They're all served. They've got people serving them 24/7, 365. They have personal assistants. They have people that pick out their clothes. People that drive them, or they don't even drive. They have cars, but they don't drive those cars. And if they do drive those cars, it's just for pleasure. It's not to go to work, right? People in today's society that have great wealth, that have great power and prestige, they are served. And we see that, our culture pumps that, and we want that. We want to be served. We want to be served. In the disciples' culture, just as in our culture, being served is a mark, the mark of greatness. But in God's economy, church, in biblical theology, in 66 books of God's Word, in God's economy, the mark of greatness is how many you are serving. How many you're serving. Amen? Kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? Kind of paradoxical, isn't it? See, the paradox is this. The one who wants to be first must become last of all and servant of all. And so the big question is, how is your heart attitude when it comes to serving others? Wow. When it comes to serving others. Biblical greatness is derived from a servant's heart. Number two, Jesus wants us to be great by serving the lowliest, by serving the lowliest in our midst. Verses 36 and 37. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Jesus' culture did not have a high view of children. Not in the least. I mean, no way, no how. Children were not regarded as especially obedient. They were not regarded as especially trusting. Children were not regarded as simple and innocent and pure. No, not back then, not in this culture. Not here, not in this time. They weren't considered humble. The point of comparison that Jesus made was one of the child's insignificance on the society's honor scale. Jesus took the lowliest of the low in that culture. He took a little child, right? He took a little child and took him into his arms. The child had no power. The child had absolutely no status. And the child in that culture, not talking about our culture today, but the child in that culture had very few rights. And that's the one that Jesus took. See, a child was dependent. A child was vulnerable. A child was entirely subject to the authority of the Father. Hence, Jesus' reasoning for choosing a child is to represent those who are needy and lowly. And the kids that are going to be here tomorrow, they're going to be some that are needy and lowly. Oh, they won't all be needy and lowly. There'll be some that are spoiled out of sight. They've got every need met and more. But there will be some on the campus this week that are needy and lowly. There'll be some on the campus this week that may not have had a bath in the last day. There'll be some on the campus tomorrow that may not have the best of clothes on. There'll be some on the campus tomorrow that may have an odor of work. Right? What do we do with those kids? Oh, we love them. Amen? We love them. And we embrace them. And we welcome them into our midst. Amen? If one wants to be great, one should shower attention on those who are regarded as insignificant, just like Jesus has done in this passage. See, Jesus requires potentially great disciples to show humble service for the humble. Humble service for the humble. Biblical greatness is derived from a servant's heart. Secondly, Jesus wants us to be great by serving the lowliest in our midst. Thirdly, this evening, our servant actions are proof of our salvation. That's the beauty about serving. We serve not to earn salvation. We serve because we are saved. Amen? I mean, it is proof. It is proof in the pudding that the Holy Spirit's in here. Amen? That I have a servant's heart. That you have a servant's heart. That we have a servant's heart. That we practice it. Amen? that we get dirty, that we serve, that we grind it out together. Verse 37 reads this, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." As you genuinely serve, as you do it as we talked about last several weeks, about genuine love, agape love, as you genuinely serve those with no influence, no priority, and no importance except to God, you give evidence of your relationship with God within His kingdom. Amen? Jesus gives His disciples the lesson full of eternal truth, and in response, John does this. John does this. John tries to stress the disciples' perceived preeminence in hierarchy. Well, where does he do that? He does that in the next verses. And that leads me to the fourth thing. You need to get the sense. You need to get the sense if you are saved. If you're saved tonight, you need to get the sense that this whole discipleship, this whole Christian life, this whole walk, you know, when somebody goes through an intervention, no matter what the intervention may be, whether it's drugs or alcohol or some kind of obsessive compulsive disorder behavior, people come around them and they express love to them and they tell them that they need to get help. Amen? And the help that they need is a detoxification. If it's a drug, you need to get off the toxin you're putting into your body. It's a detoxification, right? If it's alcohol, it's a detoxification. You need to get away from alcohol. People that do alcohol, people that, if it's a drug, you need to get away from, you need to keep that drug out. If it's an obsessive compulsive disorder, behavior, you need to break that pattern, right? And get that out and get that away from you, right? We need to sense the process in the biblical walk after salvation, the discipleship, the course that we're on. We need to sense the process of detoxifying ourselves from our desire for position. Yeah. Yeah, that's our problem. We want position. We want to be served. Pardon. We need to do that. What do you mean? Well, we just need to sense. We need to have that reality check. We need to have that knowledge that's what's going on here. That's why this is sometimes so painful. I mean, it's painful for the person going through the intervention. Well, sometimes it's painful for the disciple to find out it ain't all about you. It's all about God. It's all about the gospel. It's all about lost people getting saved. And it's all about people seeing and experiencing the love of Christ so that they can then experience it and push the kingdom of God out there and get Jesus lifted up on high. Amen, church? Verses 38 through 41, look at it with me. We need to sense the process of detoxifying ourselves from our desire for position, 38 through 41. And John answered him saying, I mean, they're having this discussion. And John answered him saying, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there's no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part." He that is not against us is for us. Amen? Now, I mean, come on. "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." In the ancient world, biblical times, first century, the ancient world, exorcists used whatever name of deities they thought would work. That's what they used. Jesus' explanation for condoning the exorcist's success in Mark's account is practical. It's not necessarily theological. Jesus argues that those doing the exorcisms cannot use his name to do mighty works and speak ill of him later. Hey, wait a minute. You've been casting out in his name, and now you're telling me something bad about him? Oh, wait a minute. That don't jive. That ain't how it worked back then. See, anyone who recognizes the power of Jesus' name will not accuse Jesus of working by Beelzebub as the teachers of the law from Jerusalem had done in Mark chapter 3, verse 22. You remember that passage? I'll just read it to you quickly. You don't even have to turn there. Let me read it for you. 3:22, God's Word says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He," talking about Jesus, "hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils." And Jesus said, "That's impossible. That don't work that way." Right? See, the disciples are so much like us, or let's say it this way, we are so much like the disciples. Right? Have you ever found yourself looking down on the disciples? Those poor disciples. You need to stop doing that, amen? We in the same boat, folks. Right? These guys are hurt. You've been hurt? Why are they hurt? Well, these disciples are hurt, and the reason we get hurt often is because of this thing called pride. These disciples are hurt and prideful. It's okay. I mean, I'm telling you, if I had a nickel for every time I was hurt because of pride, I'd have a lot of money today, right? It's okay to admit that you've been hurt because of your pride, right? These guys are hurt. They're prideful. They had just failed at an exorcism. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, 14 through 18. The Word of God reads, "And when he came to his disciples," 9:14, chapter 9, verse 14, "and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taken him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples that they cast him out, and they could not." They could not. They couldn't get it done. They couldn't get it done. John's just a little discombobulated because here's a guy not following us and he's casting them out. And we're walking with the Master for 3 years and we can't get it done. Now his pride's hurt. He's trying to establish some pecking order. He's trying to elevate himself, right? The question I want to ask you is this. Are the disciples jealous for Jesus' sake? Or are they jealous for themselves? Jesus discerns his disciples are jealous for themselves. See, the disciples want to corner the exorcism market. You know, hey man, if we're the only ones that can do this. Now we failed back here, first part of chapter 9. But if we can get this down, man, I mean, if we can corner the exorcism market, this would make us indispensable. We would be revered, man. We would have a position in the world. Jesus wants the church bigger. He doesn't want the church necessarily smaller. Right? Amen? That's what he wants. He wants his kingdom expanded. He doesn't necessarily want his kingdom shrunk down. Amen? Jesus would wish that all were exorcists casting out Satan in his name, if that's so how it happens. Right? Right? Jesus tells his disciples, it's not about your position in the church, in the kingdom, not about your position on the team, but about serving one another in this life and death struggle against evil called the spiritual battle, folks. I want to tell you we're in one. I want to tell you it's real. I want to tell you, verse 40 says, "For he that is not against us is on our part," because there is plenty against us tonight. Amen? Plenty against us. The spiritual battle. I close with you with this point number five, and that's this. Biblical greatness is derived from a servant's heart. Jesus wants us to be great by serving the lowliest in our midst. We're going to have an opportunity to do that this coming week, Monday through Thursday, Vacation Bible School. Number four, sense the process. Hey man, you're in process. He that has begun a good work will what? What will he do with that? The good work that he's begun. He's going to finish it, right? You're in the process of the greatest intervention in your life. It's detoxifying ourselves from this desire for position, prestige, and status. We're here to serve. Amen? We're here to serve. Number five, sow the seed of serving. Sow it. Sow the seed of serving, and you will reap the service of someone else. Sow the seed of serving, and you will reap the service of someone else. There is the principle of reciprocity that runs from one cover to the other cover in the Word of God. Sow the seed. What you sow, you what? You reap. Verse 41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Oh, friend, to serve is a blessing. We don't serve to be blessed, but to serve is a blessing. When it's done out of genuine love, boy, you are sending it on to glory. And let me tell you something. God has allowed me the opportunity to serve people. He's born me and bred me and equipped me to do it. I don't tell you with pride, but I just tell you as matter of fact, people around my neighborhood, neighbors, I have an itch to serve. You don't have to hold a gun to me and say, serve somebody. It just comes natural. It's a gift. It's a calling. I don't know how to. My neighbor's gone for 3 weeks, and three of us neighbors, we took care of his yard. One neighbor mowed it, the other neighbor edged it, and your pastor watered it. Right? Now, unbegrudging, it was a joy to do. Why? Because he likes green grass. You ought to see this guy work his yard. He's put more product on that yard. I mean, he's out there. He's brought in sod. It's important to him. He's dug stuff. It's been dry. Hadn't it been dry? It's been dry. So I get on the old textaroo and say, hey, do you want me to water your yard? Because it's dry. He said, would you please? I said, I'm on it. I'm taking pictures of it and sending it to him. We got rain today. Praise the Lord. Your grass is watered. It's going to be okay. Amen. The neighbor two houses down, going through a divorce, hadn't seen the husband 5 weeks. Divorce happens, don't it? Tragic, tragic. Beautiful couple. This is the family that when Aubrey ran into the house, this lady's an educator, and she came out, and the two youngest girls were just beside themselves, distraught, screaming, just carrying on. This is the lady that took them help calm them down. Great lady. Well, here she is. She's trying to hook up a pop-up camper. All right? Now, hey, man, you know, ladies, if you can hook up a trailer, more power to you. Amen? I mean, I'm proud of you if you can look at that hitch and know that's a 1 7/8 or a 2-inch ball and you know how to throw safety chains on it and you can get all that done. But, friends, she couldn't. I mean, she was trying to get the will up, and, you know, the husband's, he's not there, and, you know, I just walk over. I mean, and she's like apologizing all over herself. Oh, I'm so sorry you have to do that. I'm like, hey, this is what I do. I mean, this is no sweat. And, you know, we're trying to fumble through the husband's tools and everything. We finally find what we need. We get the wheel off. We put a safety in the latch, you know. I go, do you put a lock on this? She's like, what? I'm like, well, we need to, you know, I've never seen one of these pop up, but I'd hate for this to be the first one, you know. So put a bolt through it and tied it off. Or, you know, tires aired up. Oh, yeah, the tires are, I think they're good. And they look good. So off she went. Let me tell you something. There will be a time, and there has been times, when without knowing it, I've needed something. I've needed service. I've needed help. You know what? God sends people at the most opportune time to help me. Amen? It is a beautiful thing of reciprocity. The more we can serve others, don't do it to be served, but I'm telling you, you will not lose your reward. And when you're down, when you're in need, you watch God do something. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. We're almost done. Almost done. Sow the seed of serving, right? You'll reap the service of someone else. What is Jesus preparing his disciples for? Because he's preparing them for something. He told them at the very beginning of the passage that we began to read that his sacrificial death, his crucifixion, his bearing his cross, I mean, man, it is coming. They don't quite get it. It's not, the penny hasn't dropped just quite yet. But what he's trying to get them to understand is that they are going to be taking up their cross. They're going to be carrying their own cross. And it's their cross, when you carry your cross, it's the same cross. It's the cross of being saved. It's the cross of the gospel. It's the cross of getting it out. It's the cross of persecution because of it. It's the spiritual battle that we are in because of the cross. Amen? Right? It's not disgruntled in-laws, and it's not a boss that doesn't like you, and it's not a neighbor that can't. That's not your cross. The cross has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? The cross, your cross is not a medical condition. It's not a bad toe, right? It's not even a bad, that's not your cross. The cross has to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is getting them prepared to take up their own cross, which is going to entail what? It's going to entail great persecution. Great persecution for the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Mark chapter 13, verse 13 reads to us. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The disciples endured, did they not? They did. Were they perfect? No. Did they endure? They did. And we endure. Amen? We're going to endure. Amen? It's going to happen. We are going to endure. Amen? We are. But you know how we're going to do it? The same way they did it. By serving one another. By serving one another. We endure together. Not as lone rangers. Not as individuals out there. We endure together. Amen? Together. Serving one another, right? As we give each other a cup of water in the midst of ours and others' persecution. Amen? I'm loving it. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the study in Mark chapter 9 on the eve of Vacation Bible School tonight. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, those that need to come would be allowed to come. Lord, those that have driven by and seen the sign for registration, those that have been invited by neighbors and grandparents and friends. Lord, we just pray you draw a good number here this coming week. We pray that some of the school kids from our Christian school get to come. Lord, we just pray that you make a way for as many kids as possible to be here. Lord, we're not looking for just the biggest vacation Bible school in this community, but we're looking for a vacation Bible school where your gospel's communicated. And Lord, we pray for young hearts and families and old hearts and all kinds of hearts that your word can go into this coming week. Lord, help us serve the community as we serve one another, as we serve for you. And Lord, I pray in this parched, hot time of summer, it'll be a cool drink to some of those that are attending. Lord, help us be a comfort to folks. Help us be an encouragement to folks. And thank you for helping us when we need it. And thank you for encouraging us when we need the encouragement. We praise you tonight. We love you. We're so overjoyed for the salvation that we have, and we're eternally grateful for it. May we continue to be in prayer for the big things that are happening here at New Hope. And Lord, we know you're a God that answers prayer. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, well, let's think about some specifics. How's Miss Vicki doing? Anybody get an update on Miss Vicki? Miss Vicki? She's doing home health, home rehab.